My name is Byung-Wan Kim. I'm working as a member of Tizen Platform Architects in Samsung. So today I will present to you about the overview of Tizen native application frameworks. I'll make some simple introduction about the native application framework of Tizen platform. And next, I will give you some basic features of application framework, including the package and the type and the lifecycle and the configuration. And then I will give more advanced application features, including the inter-application communication and the system informations. Okay, let's move to the introduction. So this is very brief, the Tizen platform architecture. Actually, Tizen platform has two layers. First one is a core layer, has common libraries. And under that, there are framework layers, which has two frameworks. First one is, as you know, the web frameworks. And next is native frameworks. And each framework layer, it supports the Tizen public APIs for the applications. So web framework is very strong, has a portability and the ease of the development. And the native framework is released with the Tizen 2.0, has supports full-featured the native application development and provide a variety of additional features such as the background service and the IP push and TTS. Actually, the web framework and the native framework is complementary for the Tizen ecosystem. So you make also the native framework provides a chance to reuse your existing the C and C++ engines and libraries in writing applications, and also include some popular standard open source libraries, for example, the OpenGL.js and OpenAL and OpenMP like that. So today's presentation, I will focus on more on the native application framework, which includes some components, as you see. Each modules for app and the base, I/O, and security and system is some namespaces of the C++ native framework. So the native framework provides the package installation, uninstallation, and upgrade, and the application lifecycle management, and the application configuration management also. Okay, so let's talk about the basic features of application frameworks. First of all, I want to make some simple definition of package and the app. So package is the container of executable binaries and the contents. So the package has a package ID, which is a global unique ID of the package. Actually, the package is the unit of delivery in the Tizen ecosystem. So you can download the package and upgrade the package and uninstall package. The app is the base class in the native framework for the actual executable entity as a process. So system point of view, we can call the app is an app process. So each app has an app ID, which is a global unique ID of application. And the app name is a locale independent name. If we want to make a locale dependent name, then you can use the app display name. And also the app version and the app resource and app setting and registry, all these features are shared among the in a same package. That means one package can contain multiple apps. So let's move on to the package manager. Package manager manages the package. So that's the name, package manager. It install and uninstall and upgrade and get some information about the package which are installed in the device. So you can see this simple diagram. Even though the native framework package manager can manage all kind of packages, the web package and the native package, you can see the TPK is a native package and the WGT is a web package. Actually, that is a file extension of .tpk and .wgt. The Tizen native application and the web application, each package is very simple zipped file. So the package manager, the installation process is just extract the file to the specific location of the device. That is the location. So package manager, if start to the installation, that it copy the download package and extract under this path. So all apps in a package, they share the same application root directory. And this shows the hierarchy of some sub-directories. So the executable binaries are located in the bin. And some read-only resources, including the some bin maps or the locale string like that, they are located in the alias. And some manifest information and signature like that, that kind of information is also located in the read-only folders, the info. Data folder is the main workspace of the application. Application create and write some files and user data under the data folder. So this yellow colored box means the writable folder, writable directory. So application can write in that file. There is some special folder shared. Shared means the other application can access that folder. So if you want to share some data with the other application, then you can put the data under the share. And if you want to share some resource, for example, your application icon, because the main menu or the other application want to access the icon of your package, then you can put in the shared alias. Then the other application can read the icon and show. Installation and uninstallation is very simple. Extract the package to the specific folder and delete the application root directory. It's installation and uninstallation. But upgrade is a little bit complicated, so I want to show the upgrade policy. First, the package manager checks the app version of the package. If the version is latest, then it just remove all read-only files. And then it extract files to the same application root directory. As a result, the all read-only files are removed and replaced by a new version. And writable, the files in the writable folder, it can be updated if the file name is same. But if file is not same, then it is remained. So you can manage or migrate your old version files. So this table shows the simple the result. This folder is old files are removed and replaced. And this folder, the file is remain. It just replaced only the name is same case. Let's move to the information about the application. Actually, the Tizen native application support provide two types of application, UI application and service application. So UI application is normally you can see because it has a UI, the UI frame and UI controls and graphical interfaces. So UI application has a graphical user interface and inherits from the UI app class. And it can handle on foreground, on background event. In case of service application, it has no UI, so you cannot see. And it running always on the background. And it inherits from the service app class. This is more detailed comparison with the UI app and service app. You can see, in case of UI app, there are many ways to launch the application. Just simply click the button or touch the icon in the main menu, then it launches. But in case of service app, it has no icon, no UI. So how can the way to launch the service app is we can register to launch on boot time. Or the other application can use the launched API to launch the service app. Or by the condition, you can register some kind of condition. For example, just once a day, then maybe the platform will launch the service app just once a day. So this is a simple tag in the manifest file. And this is common, the life cycle. this is common for all UI app and service app, because there are three stages: the initializing and running and terminating. And there, the main event handler is the on app initializing and on app terminating. In the initializing phase, before move to the running, the framework will give a chance to the application by this on app initializing callback. And same, in the running state, to move on the terminating state, the framework will call the on app terminating. Then the application can handle that event. Next one is more complete for the UI application. Because the UI application has a UI frame, so I just aligned with the application lifecycle and the frame lifecycle. In point of view, the frame, it starts from the adding to the application, and its lifecycle is finished from the remove from the application. And more detailed information about the frame and UI, maybe you can get more information the next presentation session. My colleague will give you a UI framer. Okay, let's talk about the launch. The application is launched when the simply user select the icon in the main menu, where the other application use the APIs to launch. For example, the launch application and the register and launch. This is registering the condition to launch. And start app control. I will talk about app control in the advanced chapter. Notify by app ID means there is a quick panel where you register to notify, the user click the notify, then the application can launch. So in the application initialization phase, the system wrote the necessary libraries and the app executable binary to the memory. And app instance is created and executed. And then the framework called the on app initializing handler. In the on app initializing handler, the resource and the UI components and the previous app state can be loaded and initialized. Okay, this is a simple snapshot of the on app initializing. The framework gives a default parameter as app registry. App registry is used to save the state of the application. So if there is a saved state, then you can restore just to roll some kind of data from the app registry and make a frame and add a frame. So because this is a UI app. Next, the termination. So the application is terminated when the user, the application itself called the terminate, or the other application called the terminate application API, or the application is foreground and maybe the user pressed the end key, then the application could be terminated. Or the user can select the end button in the task switcher, then may be terminated. Or some kind of system or device can make a system policy, the concurrent learning application number. So if the number is exceed the limitation, then might be the application could be terminated. Or the system memory or battery is too low to run anymore, then might be the application terminated. So on termination, so on app terminating handler is called and give a chance to application to save its state or the release the resources. So in that handler, the application is recommended to return quickly. If you stay on this callback, then maybe the system think this application is hanged. And you'd better free all resources it has been used and close all pending connection to the server, and the application can save its state through the app registry. This is a simple code on app terminating. Also, the app registry is a default parameter, and you can use to save your state on the app registry. Foreground and background is only for the UI application. So application is visible when it is in the foreground. If the user select the application in the task switcher or put the icon in the main menu, then application move on the foreground. So if you has a paused or stopped work as related with the graphic rendering, then it's better. You should resume the graphic because it is visible to the user. And the contrary, the background is invisible state. So if you move on the background state, then it's better to stop or pause the graphical rendering or unnecessary network connection and media play like that, because to reduce the power consumption and memory consumption. And also, we give some kind of chance to handling the various system event. For example, the battery event, or the memory event, and the screen event. So you can catch whether the screen is on or not, and the memory is low, or the battery level changed, you can get the event. We provide several ways to configure your application. First one is app registry. I already mentioned that app registry can be could be used to save your state, the application state. So the app registry support this add, set, get, remove operations, and key value style, you can put the state, and you can get the state from the on app initializing. That's why it's a default parameter in the on-app initializing and on-app terminating. App resource is for the internationalization. So get string method, load the string resource for localization. So there are the resource editor in the IDE. Then you can make a string ID and put the actual strings for each locale. Then the ID generate the localization file. Just application simply call the get string and put this ID, then the frame will return the localized string. It's similar with the get bitmap n, is for the resolution. For example, you make a different bitmap for HD or WVG, then the system, the framework will return the actual bitmap for that resolution. The app setting. App setting is you can make a system setting menu from your application. In the system setting menu, provide a setting page for download the application. Then you can design in the IDE. This is setting IDE, setting editor in the IDE. Then you can make some kind of tags and controls. Then it generates the each setting frame automatically. And application can also access the setting value using this app setting class. This is the end of the basic application features. Next is advanced. Advanced is more interesting features. For example, the conditional application launch. If you want synchronize or download some news just once a day, you don't need to running all day long. Just register the condition, for example, the time and this due time and the launch period one day. Then the framework will launch the application just once a day. There are several the condition types, time and serial command and NFC. And for the intercommunication, inter-application operation, there are app control. App control is some kind of the way to export the functionality of application. So if you have, you can share your functionality or the frame UI with other application by this app control. The functionality is defined by operation ID and MIME and URI. So this simple code show how we get the app control and how to start. There are two way of resolution for the app control. First one is explicit. You can you just put the app ID or the operation ID and call the find app control N. Then the platform get that app control and return. Then you can start. And second one is implicit app control resolution. You can put just the URI or the MIME type. Then the framework will search all app controls to support that kind of MIME type and show the user which application do you want. So in that case, you can use the find app control, app controls N. So only difference is S. So there are predefined app controls on the platform side. The operation main is reserved for the default main entry point of the application. And the operation call is make a call to the specified phone number. And the create content, and compose, and dial, and the multi-share, and pick, share, view. This is a predefined operation of the app controls. You can use this operation, and also you can make your custom operation ID for the app controls. Next is data control. The way to share data with the other application is first one is just put the data in the shared folder. Then the other application can access that data. But there is a limitation. In the shared folder is read-only for another applications. So if we want to share the data and if we want to, the other application can access the file and the modify file, want the other application modify the file, then the shared folder could not be used for that because it's a read-only for other applications. Only their own shared folder is modified by the application. In that case, you can use the data control. Data control is supports some kind of API type data share. There are two types, so SQL type and the map type. In that case, the data control provider is built as a service app. So it has no UI, just receive a request from for the sharing data, and it generates the map or the SQL result set and return to the caller. So in that case, you can control the which application could write my data or which application allows us to read my data like that. And the data control resolution is only the explicit. You just assign the provider ID and the data ID. Then the framework will search the exact matching data control provider and pass the request to the data control provider. Next one is message port. If we want to share the simple message between the applications, then you can utilize the message port. Actually, there are two types of message port. First one is remote, and second one is local. Local is actually just a listener, means I received the message. Then you can get the message from the local port. If you want to send the message to the other application, then use the remote message port. The remote message port, using the remote message port, you can send the message to the other application. So this diagram shows the simple the bidirectional communication using the message port. And the native application frameworks provide several ways to get the system information. There are many kind of system information. I'll show some example of this key. So you can get the value using by this key. So you can check whether this device provides a camera, or this device has a camera flash, or how many touch points is provided this device like that. And we also provide the APIs to get a build info and platform versions and get values. Use this key in the API, you can get the value. And next one is setting info. Setting info, the main difference with the system info and setting info is static or dynamic. In case of system info, it's static because about the device and the system. But setting info could be changed because the user can change in the setting application. So we can provide the set APIs. And you also get the value with the get API. And this key and more is supported, provided to get the setting information. For example, what is current locale, at what is the font size, and what is the home application, and what is the log application. You can get the information of the setting. And also we provide the listener to the event, which is the setting info is changed if you are running. Okay. Next one is runtime information. We also provide the runtime information APIs to get the memory status and the CPU status and the storage status. Okay, this has completed the presentation. So, do you have any question? Then, I recommend to remain the 10 minutes, but okay.
Okay,
so you want the performance features for the message port, for example, the size of data message or
latency.
It depends on the actual device, but we use the socket underneath the message port, so it's fast.
You mentioned a few scenarios at the application termination. Mm-hmm. There are two scenarios I didn't see there. The one is the exceptions, if there's an exception to on the application, and the other one, like in Android ANR, a certain time amount of time the main thread is allowed to run on the UI. So on those two scenarios, what are the use cases?
So. Do you want more specific scenarios to terminate the application?
On those two scenarios, the exceptions and the...
On those two scenarios, the exceptions and the time on the main thread, does those two scenarios cause the application to terminate? That's the question.
So exception in the on terminating handler, I just want to more specific exceptions because sometimes the system shows actually normally application is terminated and before termination the on app terminating handler is called and we don't have assigned the specific the time duration staying in the on app termination. So if the exception is from the system, then might be the application can receive the exception and it can handle. So I just want to know the specific, which kind of exception do you want?
Uncaught exception.
Pardon?
Uncaught exception. Exception which was not accepted.
Uncaught or exception. Yeah. Okay, okay.
Exactly.
So... our frame of code is fully open, so you can see the inside of the code. In the native frame of code, we do not use the try and catch. But this is the C++ framework, so application can use a try and catch. So you mean uncaught exception means I think that is a kind of bug of application. Then might be can a chance to get the termination, on termination, on app terminating event handler might be crashed, I think.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to know what is the, so if the application does not clean up its memory before exiting, what is the system policy for cleaning up orphan objects or orphan memory allocations? Mm-mm. So is there a defined, you know, memory, you know, something that'll reallocate the memory or clean up the memory once? So if there's a bad application that's not cleaning its memory, will that affect my application? Mm.
Basically, this is application is based on the Linux process. Mm. So if you terminate the application, maybe the Linux will clean up all resources which are allocated in the process, mm. the file handler and event handler and the heap memory also. So the native application framework didn't support any the garbage collection like that. Yeah. We just believe the Linux kernel process policy.
I see. So the process will eventually just clean up all the orphan memory allocations.
Yeah.
And okay, I see. Okay, thank you.
Maybe it's out of scope of this talk, but I'm wondering if the message port support, or is there any mechanism to support the communication between the native application and the web application?
Mm. Okay. Actually, the message port API is support between the web application and native application. You can see if you download the SDK and open the API reference, then there is a Tizen web device APIs. In the device API, we support the message port, same with the native application. So you can communicate with the web application and the native application by the message port.
Thank you.
So you mentioned that for those native Tizen applications with UI, such applications can actually be brought to a background, and such applications are supposed to provide a on-background callback. Mm-hmm. And one thing they are supposed to do in such callback is to stop rendering display. I personally work on power management, and I actually found many applications that you know actually do not follow that guideline. They will continue, you know, to render display, mm-hmm. and as you said, it will hurt battery life and power, you know, in
right.
a very negative way.
Right.
Do you think this can be, you know, fixed in the application framework level so that each, you know, application? So the application developers do not need to, you know, worry about it.
Yes, it's a good point, because we always considering the power consumption. Even though the application go on the background, it continue to rendering the graphics and use the OpenGL, it may be consuming the power.
Yeah, we actually find many such applications.
Yeah. But you know, the application framework cannot determine that is exact the way of application want, because we think the various scenarios, if you have multiple screens and if you have a remote screen, then might be the application is background, but it need to rendering some graphics. It's possibility about. So the native framework cannot enforce the background application stop the graphics rendering. So we just give a chance to, oh, you will go on the background. So if you need to stop, then just stop. We just recommend, as you mentioned, we just give the developer guideline. So we don't enforce that. So it's up to developers.
Okay.
For example, the media streaming. You can listen to music on the background. Music player can play the music on the background. So we cannot enforce that.
Okay.
We have a question here.
Yeah.
My question is about data control. You mentioned, my understanding what you said is that one application can access and change data stored by another application. Is that right?
Right.
But how is the syncing organized if maybe two applications try at the same time to access the data, or that very application who owns the data wants to access that data?
Yeah, yeah.
How is that organized?
Yeah. So if in case of multiple applications want to access one data control provider, actually the data control provider is also service application. So provider developer, they should synchronize the request. Normally they use the one thread, so they can synchronize because the request callback will be synchronized and called to the data control provider. But anyway, the provider developer, they can make a multiple thread, and that time they should make their own synchronized algorithm, for example, file locking or like that. It's up to data control provider developer.
We have one
okay, okay.
One
okay.
Okay. That's, I find that interesting, the package with multiple applications. Is that unique to Tizen, or are there other mobile operating systems that have this feature?
Well, actually, the concept is a little bit different. For example, in the Android case, they provide one package, APK, and you can put application components, multiple components. For example, they can put multiple activity and multiple service, multiple content provider like that. So in that case, the Tizen package also packages one TPK. It can provide UIFs and multiple services like that. So I think the concept is different, but anyway, the in the user case, user point of view, is similar.
What are some of the more exotic use cases for multiple apps in a package?
Okay, in this case, if some application want to download some data from its server, but the application do not want to terminate it by the user, then it can make a download module as a service app. But anyway, that application want to show some kind of message or interface to the user, then it can separate the UI application and service application. The service, while the service application running, the application, even though the user press the end key, the application doesn't terminate. So in the case, it's useful to separate the process and separate the UI and the working model, then it is easy to manage for the application developer.